Hello, everyone, and welcome back to MF Uncensored. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and Cinematic Adventures. I'm one of your hosts, Paul, and with me via the Zoom studio, if you know anything about our show, or if you're a first-time listener, you're about to learn a little bit about our show, there are a couple of things that we love more than anything. We love inspiring stories. We love empowerment. We love being nerds. All right. We love all of these things, and nobody personifies that more than our guest today, and that's Miss Megan Gall. Megan, how are you today?
Hey, how are you doing? I'm doing great.
I'm doing awesome. I'm really excited to chat with you. Just reading your show notes, and we talked about this in the pre-show, most comprehensive pre-show notes I've ever gotten, and I loved every second of reading it.
What a compliment. That's the nerd piece of my personality coming in.
See, you are in the right place because this is the place of Misfit Toys. That's where the show name comes from, Misfit Faction, MF Uncensored. So we are honored to have you here. For our listeners and our audience, if you're watching on YouTube, hi, you're watching on YouTube. Great job. But make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Petty. But anyway, shameless plugs. It's nothing but shameless plugs. But for our listeners, our audience, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Megan Gall, and I'm from New York. I had a weight loss journey that took place over the course of about 11 to 12 months. And during that time, my habits changed drastically, and they've stayed, you know, in their new format. They've stayed consistent since then. And I think the big thing that I took away from that process is how much I don't have to worry about 11, 12 months down the line, 2 years down the line, 5 years down the line, how much if I focus on a small habit change at the beginning, how that can really snowball into a huge change over time. And that's really hard for a lot of people to kind of to be patient enough to do a small change first. I don't know, in your fitness background, like you've done a lot of things. Have you ever been tempted to make a huger change than you were really ready for?
But Megan, it's the beginning of the year. It's January just ended. I have to make a big, dramatic, drastic change right now and then be super disappointed and stop going to the gym February 1st.
You do. February is the unofficial, like, I fell off my resolution month. That's so common. And I think January is just when we see it most. But it really happens all the time. It is something that you can't see it happening, but you're pressured to make a big commitment when you want to get healthy. You want other people to see you working towards it. You want to do it all at once so that you're over and done with, because there's this idea that, like, oh, you know, I'm going to do it all at once and I'm going to be done. And then I go back to how I was living before. And I think that's a huge piece that a lot of people can't see at the beginning. If we're making this change, the idea is that we're going to make it for, you know, going forward. Like, the idea is that this change should stay. We all say we want, like, a healthy lifestyle change. I think that's the lifestyle change vocabulary has become really popular lately. But if we say we want it to be a lifestyle change, we kind of want to make a really small change to make sure that we can do it for a year, you know, do it for a consistent period of time without burning out. And I think, like, how that came into play for me in a very specific way was I was working with a therapist at the time when I was first trying to become healthier. I was asked, can you drink a glass of water each day? And I don't know if your listeners can, like, relate, but sometimes you're in a place where trying to be healthy feels absolutely overwhelming, impossible to start on, right? Like, you just feel like, how can I start having three healthy meals a day? How can I start going to the gym every day? I'm not even getting off the couch, you know, after 4 o'clock. So that question that she asked me was kind of weird to me. Like, of course I can drink a glass of water. What difference is that going to make? And what I saw after a week of doing that, because my answer was yes, like, of course I can do that.
Easy.
What I saw after, after a week of doing that, I was like, okay, oh, I made a change and I stuck to it. And now I'm ready for, like, a new change. Like, I'm keeping this going and I'm ready for a new change. I've never taught myself that I could make a lifestyle change like that before. So that kind of snowballed into a few other small changes in my habits that created the weight loss over about a period of 11 or 12 months.
See, I love that because we've talked ad nauseum on this show. We've done a ton of episodes. We actually had a food therapist on a few weeks ago, Dr. Libby, our favorite. She was the best. But you know, the conversation is always, I'm not losing. It's either I make this big dramatic change, nothing happens right away, and I'm done with the change, or you overdo it and you end up going on. There's a such thing as unhealthy weight loss and unhealthy, healthy lifestyles. And I was a victim of it. Like, you know, you mentioned, and for our listeners who don't know, I have a very long background in martial arts, in physical fitness. You know, I've run Spartan races. I actually proposed to my wife at a finish line for a Tough Mudder. That was her first race.
Oh my Lord, how awesome. Oh
It
my
was
God,
the
that's fantastic.
coolest thing. Little petty because I knew that they were going to have professional photographers at the end, so I didn't have to pay for professional photographers. You gotta think the long game sometimes.
I'm very frugal, so I like this. I like that plan.
So like I have been through all sorts of different diets and fads and this and that. And especially when you're in martial arts, you are expected to have a certain physique and present yourself a certain way. And obviously, if I walked into a martial arts school and I saw somebody who was like 600 pounds drinking a soda and like saying, I'm gonna teach you how to fight and defend yourself, and I would have been like, no, not you guy. You can't do it.
Walk the walk, please.
Jeez, but I love the idea of micro habits. They're one of my favorite things in the whole world because they're something you can track. There's something that you can put into your diet or put into your lifestyle in a smaller increments. And I love the idea of just a glass of water a day. That's wild to me.
Yeah, and I think what it did was it proved to me that I could do something that really it didn't have to do with weight loss per se. It didn't have to do with some kind of external, body goal that I had or fitness goal that I had. It was really like almost a nod that I did to myself every day, like, I got you. Like, I treat you nicely. I remember that you're a human flesh prison that like needs some water to keep moving, keep itself going through the day. It was kind of evidence that I could do an action that was really for me internally. And I think some of us get in the habit of paying so much attention to our family, our work, that we are not in the habit of doing that for ourselves. So once I started kind of being really consistent with extra water every day, the next question, because I was kind of stuck in a bit of a cycle of, a lot of women and men now too, a lot of people have kind of disordered eating habits that happen in college when they're first on their own.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, that happens to a lot of folks. I mean, for me, it was I dieted a little and then I kind of rebelled in a binging fashion. And then I decided the dieting is not for me because of what happened. So I kind of became very anti-diet in a way that really allowed me to fall head over heels into emotional eating.
Oh, emotional eating is probably one of my biggest challenges. And for me, like I had to dig deep into why. It's always about the why. Like why, especially with emotional eating, there's an underlying reason that you are filling that void, right? And it's not even just eating. It could be anything. Some people fill it with alcohol. Some people fill it with, you know, promiscuity. Like people find ways to fill that void. And a lot of people, they don't think eating is going to, is an issue. Like nobody like eats their food and they're like, this is not addictive or at all. Like people don't get it. So I love talking to people that have been through that. And for me, like personally, I struggled with it to the point where I went so far the opposite direction, to the point where I was working out twice a day. I was constantly doing meal prep and making sure I had all the right food. And my wife, my saint of a wife, who is the producer of the show, as we like to call her, she put up with me while we were dating. I was probably insufferable like some days. Like, no, I have to go to sleep at this time. I have to train at this time. I went to the gym during our honeymoon, like not even a joke.
Oh my
But
gosh. Wow.
at that point, when we had gotten married, I'd already started addressing this, and I turned my workouts from I have to work out to I want to work out. I like to work out. I feel good when I work
How
out.
did you do that? What was was there a phrase or someone you talked to or some realization? How did you change your I have to work out to I want to work out? What was that process like?
Well, first it was identifying the why, right? It was, why do I have this need? And it turned into, well, I want to look a certain way. Well, why do you want to look a certain way? Because I like getting the attention from looking a certain way. There's nothing more flattering, especially for a dude, for another guy to come up and be like, yo, bro, you're looking big, or like, you know, you're looking good. Or like, I want to be able to take off my shirt in public and not feel self-conscious. And people don't think about it as much for men. And that's the other thing. To the point where when I was like, why am I feeling this way? Nobody could help me. Like, nobody could give me an answer, because nobody ever talked about men and body image and how we should feel and how we should look. And now it's like you said, the dialogue is so much bigger and so much more. There's a lot of awareness, you know, and a lot of body positivity. I am all about body positivity. If you like the way that you look, that's great. I'm never going to take that away from someone. Do you want to be healthy, though? That's the question. Like, do you want to find that balance, right? And I think,
yeah, and I think I want to have a really good body versus the I want to feel healthy. To me, like, the good body often is tied up in how other people see you. So it's a very external motivator, which only works so far. Whereas if your goal is healthy, usually you're behind that is I want to feel good in my skin. I want to feel energetic. I want to do the things that enrich my life. And that is the most internal of motivators. That's like the most self-kind motivator I can think of. And I think studies have shown that you're not going to stick with a goal, achieve a goal, and maintain it unless you find those internal motivators, because you have more control over them. The external motivators, they're going to change. They're going to, you know, lose their power over time, but the internal ones do not. Sorry to interrupt
you. No, don't ever. You're the guest. Interrupt me. They're tired of hearing me talk. I'm sure of it. But I completely agree. You know, we always say that there's motivation and there's inspiration. Motivation can come from inside. It can come from outside. Inspiration is that feeling that you have inside for you, right? You can be inspired by people, absolutely. But I always think that inspiration is that fire that's inside, but you still have to feed a fire. Like, you still have to give it the right nutrients to keep it going. It's like your body's a car, basically. And what you put in it will dictate, and how you treat it will dictate how it runs. Like,
why are car metaphors so good for fitness and health journey? Aren't they? Like, I love that. I haven't heard your one, you know, yet. I've heard some other ones, but go on. Sorry.
No, please. So for me, it's like, all right, you can drive a car 200 miles an hour and it may not break down if you take really good care of it, or you could take terrible care of it and it's not going to make it down the road. It's about finding that balance. But that's also like, I'm not a car guy. I'm not going to be outside fixing my car every day. Where's the balance? Is that? I want to go 200 miles an hour, but how much do I want to take care of my car? And I enjoy a drink with my wife. Like, we go out, you know, I like not having to count the calories and all that stuff, because people get so involved with calorie counting. Yes. And even when I was at like my highest level of physical training, I don't like to say diet. I hate the phrase diet, because unfortunately diet used to be a very positive word and it's turned into like,
it used to just mean how you eat, right? Mm-hmm. What's your diet like? Like, that's what it used to be. And now it's very much, I fully agree. I don't use it either, because it has this connotation of it's a temporary period of time where you're super restrictive. That's the whole background, like what we've attached to that word. So I think it depends on what you're trying to say with it, but I don't find myself using the word diet.
Yeah. I find diet is a business. Diet is 10,000% a business. And I do enjoy my fitness journey. Like, I did P90X was my big start into physical fitness, because I could do it at home and I didn't have to worry. I hate going to the gym, which is hilarious. Love to work.
I'm surprised that you hate going to the gym.
Oh, I love to work out. I love to train. I love to do what I like to do. And I'm very stuck in my ways, as my wife will tell you. But for me, it's like, I get to work out at home. I get to do it at my own pace. I get to do it at my own leisure. I don't have to worry about what other people are thinking. And that took a lot of the pressure off for me to continue working out. Will I go to the gym if I have to? Sure. Like, if, you know, my wife and I will go to the gym every once in a while together, because I have a very small home workout space. It's not for two. So our podcast studio is bigger than my workout space, which I think is hilarious.
I wonder if there's a correlation between like square footage in your house devoted to certain parts of your life and your value of those things.
So you ready? When we moved into our house, we moved into our house pre-pandemic, like right as they were talking about this new coronavirus, which they stopped calling it that. It's hilarious. But we moved in, and when we were moving in together, we were like, all right, what are we looking for in a home? My wife wanted a room to make into a library, and I wanted a fully done basement to make into a podcast studio and a workout space. We managed to find the house that got it, and she has her beautiful library that she's constantly changing, and I have my little studio, and I have my little workout area and man cave. So it all, you know, you manifest
works out perfectly.
Yeah, just putting it out there to the universe. But so for us, like, we got very lucky with something like that. Now, going back though, we were talking about diet, and diet is a business, and diet is it is driven by data. And that's something that I know you mentioned, but I think that nutritional companies, they use that data to push agendas. Like, hey, if you like Weight Watchers, I'm sure has done a lot of good for a lot of people, but it's all about, hey, these are your calories for the day, these are your points for the days, like all that sort of stuff. But what about data for you in your journey?
Yes, I love that you brought up Weight Watchers, because I feel like they use the data to like kind of, they have such a revolving door. Like you go super fast on your weight loss, then you're at the end, your support is not the same, and then you roll right back in the door when you've regained the weight. You're there paying them again.
Weird.
So odd. So I think how data shows up for me, and it's funny that you mentioned calories, because the concept of calories, like for me, it's a helpful concept when you step back and look at the big picture and try to detach your emotion from what you're trying to do and looking at solely as data. But how the diet business, the diet industry has wrapped calories in this package of, this is a judgment on you. And like, what's the first number when you think of like a woman's calories?
1600.
I was expecting you to say 1200. Oh, look at me.
Too high.
Well, I would say 1200 only because the folks that I work with, many of them have been in this kind of diet yo-yo cycle. They've tried Atkins, South Beach, Weight Watchers, mm-hmm. Nutrisystem. They've tried everything. And the number that always comes up when people think about calorie counting is 1200, because it's like, I'm not sure exactly the governmental, you know, body that did this, but it's, or the scientific body that did this, but it's like the lowest amount that is healthy for an adult, the average adult woman. Right. Mm-hmm. To get all her nutrients for the day. So, you know, having enough protein for your body to run well and enough, you know, fat to help the nutrients absorb, all that stuff. So that number is just top of mind for everyone I talk to. That's often like the first number that pop, like, should I be down to that number? So calories come in this package of, you got to hit this low number. This mm-hmm. is restriction. This is, if you see your numbers in the red, you've done wrong. Like, and if I try to fit in a takeout meal in your calories, you can't. So you might as well just give up that day.
Yeah.
That's how calories are used. Like, you with your meal prep, was that out of a desire to kind of control the portion, the protein amount you were having? Like, because it's harder to do that with takeout food and with, you know, just stuff you might eat on the fly if you didn't prep.
So my issue was, it was training for me. Like, it was part of my training mm-hmm. regimen, like eat, sleep.
Oh, okay. Food.
So that's how it started. And also I have a career where getting takeout and getting fast food is the norm. It is something that's mm-hmm. totally expected. And unfortunately it leads to a lot of health issues for a lot of the people that, you know, in my field of study. So I didn't want to be like that. I wanted to make sure that I, you know, this is where I am. Cause like my workday is wild. There are some days where my usual workday starts around 7 a.m. and it ends around 3:30 a.m. or p.m., excuse me. But there are some days where I'm working 16 hours or doing doubles and all this stuff. So for me, it was also, I don't always have the opportunity to go get food. And also, I want to save some money. Like, I can buy a giant thing of ground turkey for everything's so expensive. I can't. But,
oh my God.
Like, I can grab a bag of broccoli that I can just throw in the microwave if I need to. And some ground turkey, and I'm good. Like, and also I do enjoy it. I feel better. I feel less bloated. I feel all these things. But I have, for me, it was struggling to find the balance. And I don't count calories. I never counted calories. And that was whenever you tell somebody like you're training or you're in this, and that's what I always say, I'm training because it's a lifestyle. It's a training lifestyle. People are like, well, what, how many calories do you have? I go, I don't know, till I'm not hungry anymore. Like it all depends. And for me, my biggest challenge is all the people in my family, and not just the men, the women too, eat really fast. Like
Me too. Oh my
we
gosh.
shovel. And if you're not fast enough, other people will start taking, like my dad is notorious for taking food from people's plates. And he'll always say, I paid for it, and then he'll eat it. So he's the king of it. Still
The
is.
dad tax.
Oh yeah, the dad tax. But so that was kind of like the first time my wife, when we were dating at the time, I'll never forget this. We did a movie night. It was like maybe a month into dating, and I got a big thing of Chips Ahoy, like the double chunky white fudge, like cookies from heaven thing, like the big thing. The movie's not even a fourth of the way in, and she's like, "Did you eat that whole thing?" I was like, "No, there was two cookies left." She's like, "Are you gonna eat that whole thing?" I was like, "No." Slowly close the bag. I still ate the whole thing, but it's one of those things. It's like movie theater popcorn. When you sit in the movies, you don't even realize that you're just sitting there just eating, and
Yes.
suddenly the popcorn's gone and the trailer's just ended.
Oh yes, the pairing, like if you're eating out of a large container, not a single serving container, and you're watching something or engaged your brain in something else, that is a recipe for total like calorie bomb, which doesn't like the my antidote to that is not to set a rule of not eating, during the movie, but to just kind of pre-plan what it is I'm gonna have an awesome calorie bomb on. Kind of give myself a pre-plan. Like, today I really want to just eat a ton of popcorn when I go to the movie tonight. I think I'm gonna like plan for that. I'm gonna look and see what the rest of my week looks like, and I'm gonna see if that can fit into my week. So I think how calories come in a way that can be helpful, like the way that I look at them in a very different way, I think, than a lot of folks do, is that the information that you can get by non-judgmentally collecting your kind of biofeedback data. And by that, I mean, what you're consuming in terms of number of calories in, what happens to your weight over time. Collecting that data over 6 to 8 weeks can give you the most powerful number, in my opinion, which is your maintenance calories. And this is really helpful, I think, mostly for folks who want to either maintain a healthy weight or find a newer, lower healthy weight. But it can also be helpful for people who have different fitness goals too. But I think the reason I think that maintenance calories are so helpful, your total daily energy expenditure, what your body needs to maintain its current weight long term, because it gives you the ability to retreat to that if you're on a weight loss journey and you're feeling burnt out. And I think the power of being able to retreat to your maintenance level without going full swing on the pendulum in the other direction and getting the 32 pack of cookies or whatever, going to the movies and not kind of thinking about how you want to have a fun snack and just kind of getting the large popcorn and seeing what happens. The power of the maintenance calories is it gives you kind of a way to hold steady, not go back on your progress. And it also reminds you, this is the really important part, it reminds you that like we're not on this back and forth between 1200 calories and free for all. Our bodies, actually, all of us have a general level of food that keeps us where we are. Whether you put that into exact terms of calories or you just know it's like three reasonable meals and a small snack, like you might know that on a more intuitive level than knowing like it's 2400 calories. But yeah, but knowing what your maintenance looks like, what your habits at maintenance looks like, is something that so many people on this back and forth yo-yo have never known in their whole adult life.
Right. Because it's not something that like I know I am 6 feet tall. I know that. That is a fact. I also know if I put down a scale and I stand on it, that is my weight. It's like nobody ever thinks, well, what is my ideal calorie intake? What is the level that's going to keep me feeling good, but I still have some room on either ends? Like I know for a fact that I try and do I call it a flexitarian almost. Like I eat how I eat what I'm feeling. Like I know that if I have a really good like chest workout, I might throw a little extra protein in there just to fuel that. I also know on leg day, I am statistically hungrier than I normally am because
That
I'm
makes sense, yeah.
engaging my large muscle groups. So like I plan for that because otherwise I find myself like on a leg day where I really kill it and I'm like, I didn't make enough food. I'm starving. Let's find just anything to eat at this point. I try and accommodate and do maybe a little extra brown rice or something like that. So I think it's something that people don't realize that they think that it's this strict number, but I like the idea of you have some space, like give yourself a little bit of grace.
Exactly. And I think so many people feel like if they're aiming for weight loss and they're aiming for, they've gone a little bit over what they think is appropriate, they forget that they were already aiming for something that's lower than their maintenance. You're still winning. You're still doing something in service of your goal. And even if you just paused and just ate, just try to maintain where you are, that's also in service of your goal because you're establishing and you're proving to yourself that, this is a choice. Like you're doing this out of love for yourself and kindness to yourself. You're not doing this because a doctor has told you to do it, or your husband has told you to do it, or your friend said you're looking big today. Like you're not doing it for those reasons. You're doing it when you're comfortable for you, out of choice. And I think that takes a lot of resentment and that kind of emotional energy around trying to manage someone's food. Like it kind of removes it and calms you a little bit, because I think the health journey can feel stressful rather than fun. And that's sad to me because it can be super fun. I would never would have said that in, when I was 230 pounds. I never would have said that. But now I've kind of proven it to myself that like working on small habits, working on micro habits and tracking that can be super fun. It can be like, how many times can I hit my step goal this week? What can I add? Like, can I add something like meditation? Will that help me kind of manage my stress? Like, you can look at it in a more holistic way too when you're thinking about the data, not just calories. You can look at your baseline for the habits that you have. Like, for example, if your goal is to manage stress better, and right now you only meditate, whenever you go to yoga, your last thing is to do the Shavasana, right? You only do that. And your baseline is like once a week, that's what you're doing. You can say, okay, now I'm going to aim for a small improvement. I'm going to take a small step up. I'm going to do a small habit change, not a big, crazy, overwhelming habit change. And I'm going to aim for three this week. And then you can track that. You can reward your success and you can keep going. So it's like gamifying life.
So I completely agree. And one of the biggest things I did was try and make fitness enjoyable, fitness fun, right? Because then it's less, well, I have to go do this because I have to go do this. Like I mentioned, I love Spartans, I love Tough Mudders, I love playing in the mud, as I like to say. Like I love getting down and dirty. And I love that in order to do that, I have to train my body a certain way and I have to eat a certain way. But at the same time, for me, I had issues with the restrictiveness because I was overly restrictive to the point where my friends and family must have thought I was crazy half the time. Like I was bringing meals to dinner. Like if I was
Wow, yeah.
like it was getting to a point and that's where I was. I still like if I'm gonna run like a race, maybe like a couple of weeks beforehand, I'll get a little bit stricter just, but I also created a lot of micro habits and a lot of small changes. Like I drink my gallon of water a day, mostly because my day starts at 4 o'clock in the morning. So if I'm not hydrating myself, I'm going to be shot by 9 a.m., like just done for the day. So it's that micro habit of here's my gallon of water, make sure it's filled, go to work, maybe fill it up a little bit more towards the end just so I have some extra, and that's it. That's just part of my routine. But one of my biggest micro habits that I put into was green tea. I love green tea. It's one of my favorite things. It has a little bit of caffeine in it, so I don't drink coffee, so which is wild.
Is that new or is that something that you've done for a while?
Never had coffee. Never in my entire life have
Oh.
I had coffee.
Oh yeah, so you're different.
I am. People think that I'm crazy. I do enjoy my occasional energy drink. I won't even lie, but for me, coffee never had that appeal. And also, people were like, "Once you start drinking coffee, you can't stop." I was like, "Well, I don't want to start then. That sounds horrible."
That's how I felt about cigarettes. It's like once so
Once
I can see the crossover. I could totally see it.
So for me, like I have a cup of green tea every day, and that's part of my habit. And also, green tea is great for inflammation, and it helps you lose a little bit of weight and maintain. So that's a small habit. Like it's like you said, I love the fact that you said most people think that losing weight or being healthy is strictly about going to the gym. There are so many different facets. You can go to the gym for 4 hours a day, but if you are eating 9,000 calories in unhealthy ways, it's not going to balance out.
And if you're not, or if you're not fueling it on the other end, right? You're not going to be as healthy as you think you are because you're under fueling yourself. You're maybe losing muscle mass. You're doing all this stuff. So it's nuts how the gym and kind of fitness kind of overtakes the whole weight loss and health in general. Like it t overtakes the whole, like, well, I'm going to the gym, so I'm definitely healthy. But I think the stress relief is something that a lot of folks kind of put on the back burner. But we were both talking about having a history with emotional eating, and I think the making stress relief a micro habit, so both kind of proactive, like having some kind of practice where either where you kind of do some deep breathing, some way to calm the central nervous system, calm your emotional dysregulation, all that stuff. So that's kind of the proactive stuff. And then in the moment, having a few kind of a list of de-stressing activities that aren't like doom scrolling, because that's definitely not
Oh,
de-stressing.
the worst.
Yes, I think that's a huge part of keeping emotional eating in check. You know, it's something that like reminds you that that's not the only tool that I have to handle the stress that's inevitable in my life. You know, getting a huge takeout meal or opening the bag of chips that I was saving for a party, that kind of thing is not the only thing that I can do for myself right now that I'm stressed. What are some other super concrete things that I can do in this moment? And I think what trips a lot of people up is they want to distract. They want to like watch a TV show, scroll, read. And I think those things sometimes ramp up the stress a little bit because you're avoiding. So I always love the really kinesthetic kind of activities, whether that's, you know, sewing, knitting, puzzles, like anything that's, it's not like causing your prefrontal cortex to get super, super engaged. Like you're not trying to solve a super hard problem. You're not distracting yourself from what's happening in your body. You're kind of moving with your body. For some people, it's a walk. For some people, it's working out, like something kinesthetic, something involving your body and kind of bringing your body and mind back into sync a little bit. So I think that's a huge piece of the puzzle to managing that emotional eating kind of habit that a lot of us are in.
I love it. I love it so much because I am one of those people. I love to go for walks. I will meditate. I used to be very good with meditation. It's one of those things that kind of fell by the wayside, but it is one of those things that I still thoroughly enjoy. When I was going for my master rank in Taekwondo, part of that requirement was we went on a hike at like, and that's another thing. I love hiking. Like I love hiking. I love being outdoors, but we did this hike up by us in New York. And it was like a 4 hour hike at, we started at 10 o'clock at night. Climb this mountain, we go 2 hours up, find this spot, and we do a 4 hour meditation.
That
Like
sounds amazing.
it was an out of body experience at one point because it's one of those things where, and like my instructors told us, they were like, if you need to open your eyes, if you need to you can just don't, you're not strict into this. It's supposed to be just a spiritual moment. And like it gets to a point where once you get past, there's going to be a point of discomfort and like feet are falling asleep and all these things. And like I was young at the time, so I didn't have no back issues. Now I'm almost 40 and my back's always hurting. But so for me, that was an experience. And now even my workouts reflect a little bit more of that. Like I do more yoga, I do more stretching. Like I also listen to my body better. I have hip flexor issues just from the amount of equipment that I typically carry. And some days I have to be like, I'm not doing leg day. I'm just going to stretch for 20 minutes. And that's my workout for the day.
Oh, that is like music to my ears. I love that. Do you find that a lot of people that you talk to have a really hard time accepting that kind of alternative to their workout? Like,
Not anymore now that everybody's getting close to 40. We all
is it
kind
just a
of.
maturity thing?
I think it's a maturity thing. It's also people use a lot of those things as excuses not to work out in any capacity. My back hurts. Like I grew up with my parents, they hard workers, but they'd be like, my back hurts, I'm not doing anything today. Or like adults just they they use it as a reason, not an excuse. I hate using the word excuse because it's a reason. It could be a legitimate medical reason. I know plenty of people that have legitimate medical injuries, but I also know, have a very good friend. He lost one of his legs and
wow.
Yeah, years ago in an accident, and he still goes to the gym. Like, and he still works out. He's like, I lost one thing. I have plenty of others. Like, and it's
Three
really
other limbs and a head and a torso. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. I am astounded. I'm always like inspired by folks who just against all odds, they do what they want to do regardless.
Now, speaking of which, look at you. You lose 100 pounds, which is what? That's a person. That's a human being, potentially. Like, so you started off with these micro habits and they just kind of grew from there. What was your journey and where are you now?
That is a great question. And it's funny because it's been the percentage of time, you know, since 2018 of me maintaining this weight range is much more now than the time it took to lose it. Because a lot of folks are very curious about the time it took to lose it. But it's interesting how much has to stay the same when you're when you're trying to stay within a different range than you used to be. So when I, you know, after having learned how to keep a water habit going and then, you know, reading some awesome books about habit building and behavior change, habit stacking and all that good stuff, I started building some additional habits. Part of it was keeping an honest food journal daily. And I think that's the one thing that I think it's the last thing that I would give up. Like if you took all my habits from me, that's like the one that I would keep. Please let me keep that one, because I think it's the antidote to the popcorn at the movies, the, you know, what else were we talking about? The mindless habits. It's the antidote to that, because it gives me a chance to, you know, be mentally engaged in my choices, but two, very importantly, remind myself that like there is no restriction on what I eat, what kinds of foods I eat, even how much I eat. These things are not rules that I place on myself, because that's unrealistic. Life happens. You're always going to have times in your life that are much busier than others, much more stressful than others. You're going to have a different amounts of free time to prepare the foods that work for you, all that stuff. So there are no restrictions on the kinds of foods I eat or how much food I eat, or even like whether I emotionally eat. There's no restrictions on that. But what I do keep as a kind of boundary to myself is no matter what it is, I write it down. Like I record it for myself. I get aligned with it. So that piece of it, like I've tried many different kinds of journaling. I've done calories, and that's kind of my favorite because I'm a, you know, a numbers gal, I suppose. But I've also done kind of photo journals. I've done paper pencil journals. And I think the nice thing about it is it's something I could do even on my worst day. I'm still capable of it. And so that habit of kind of keeping myself accountable to what I was enjoying every day caused me to make some other habit changes, because I was face to face with what I was doing. So instead of one big habit I used to have was in between my split shifts at work at my old job, I was stressed out of my mind and not even realizing it. I was riddled with anxiety and not even acknowledging it. And I would just go to like a mini mall or some place with a fast food place and just eat the whole time. I would just eat between my split shifts and just try to not think about work. So that, instead of taking that habit head on, the food journal helped me like see it very neutrally, like emotionally neutral. Okay, this is happening. If I want to change the amount of calories that I'm having, if I want to lower them a little, what would be a more satisfying way to do that? And that allowed me to practice kind of Sunday meal prep like you. Like I started with just one meal, like one batch of five meals, and that took care of lunches for the week. And that got me really interested in cooking, got me really well practiced in making stuff that both tasted good to me and helped me know what I was eating, you know. And it's interesting, I didn't really change my dinner takeout habits for a long time. I kept them going through most of my weight loss, I would say.
That's the one thing I struggle giving up is I love going out to eat with my wife. I love ordering food. So for me, it's during the week, I try and be very good. Like Monday to Friday, mostly due to work. Like I have a very hectic schedule, and having just, okay, got my food, go. Like, just it helps get through the day and it makes me that much easier. But like even tonight, my wife's like, "Hey, you want to go out to dinner?" I'm like, "Heck yeah, I want to go out to dinner. Let's go out to dinner after this.
Of
Let's
course.
do it." Now, for you though, this has led to what do you do now? Tell our listeners some of the activity that you're doing right now.
Love this question. So generally, like when it comes to my food throughout the week, I kind of give myself a good idea of, it's almost like a menu of what I'm going to have handy for myself. So, breakfasts are pretty, I have a list of like 5 or 10 different things that I normally have in the rotation. So I'll pick one or two of those. Same thing with dinners. Me and my partner, we have, 10 maybe easy meals that are just like combinations of different vegetables and proteins that are quick and easy and taste good. So we just kind of take those for granted that most nights we're going to do those. Most breakfasts are going to be my normal at home breakfast. Lunches, like I said, like I still keep that Sunday meal prep habit. If I schedule something on Sunday, that meal prep is going on Saturday or Monday. That's another boundary that I keep. Like I make sure I get to the grocery store. That's something that I never did before I started losing weight. I wasn't habitually going to the grocery store. So it seems simple, but
I
many of
actually,
us are not in the habit.
I stopped going to the grocery store when I was hungry. That was a big thing. Because I would find myself and my wife would we would go to the grocery store when we were hungry and we're like, oh, we because
Yes.
that would trigger, oh, we need stuff in the house, and we'd go and we'd be like, we want this, we want this, we want this, instead of going like, hey, these are the things. So now when we go to the grocery store, there's like 10 things on our list all the time. These are the 10 things that we always have to get, whether it's like a case of water, almond milk, like certain things that just they're part of our weekly stuff, and then we have some fun. So I love
That.
like similar kind of micro habits. Now, you also
Yeah.
managed to turn all of this into a business, correct?
I am, yes, I have. I moved to health coaching with a company in 2022, and all that time I was kind of building my website because my goal really was to help other folks with the same goal, because what I found through losing the weight is a whole new understanding of what I was capable of. Before I lost weight, I did not, I think back and I picture my mindset at the time. I didn't think that I had any power in my life. I didn't think that I could make a change and stick to it. I was scared all the time. I felt just buffeted around by emotions, by other people, by external circumstances, and kind of just unlucky. That's how I felt, unlucky, which, it's not realistic. Like in a first world sense, I was not unlucky at all, but I felt unlucky. And now, what doing the 11 to 12 months of picking a goal, learning a ton about my maintenance calories and kind of pursuing slow weight loss over time, and then having a goal of maintaining that healthy range, that has taught me such a ton about what I am capable of. Like the fact that I can make a change and stick to it and follow something through and not do it in a perfectionist mindset, like fall off the horse, get right back on. That changed a lot about my perception of myself. And what it helped me do was get a whole new job back in 2018. Before that, I was working at a tutoring center. And then I got a job at a nonprofit that felt so above me. It felt like I never could have gotten that. It was on the strategy team, data analysis. And I never would have even started the process of applying for that, because I was just so riddled up with fear that I couldn't even stare a cover letter in the face. So that whole process taught me a lot, and I feel like I think much differently just in general now than I did then. So I slowly noticed a desire for myself to like help other people with that, because it changed a lot, and I know a lot of people are stuck pre-change. Weight loss is just one way to kind of, it's one, thing that people pursue that could teach the same kind of thing. But I think the reason I wanted to help with weight loss is because so many people do so much damage to how they think about themselves through that process. And I wanted it to be an empowering process, not a, I'm moving in a smaller, restrictive direction. I wanted it to be, you're moving in a positive direction. You're learning how to eat in a way that is the most balanced for your body and what you like to eat. You're learning how you like to eat as someone who's a lighter weight. You're defining that for yourself. That's a positive change. It's not a negative change, but so much about the diet industry makes it feel like it's a negative change. So that caused me to go in the direction of health coaching. I worked with a company for a little bit in 2022. And all along, I was building up my website to do it my own way because I didn't want to just stick with the way, the app was wanting me to coach people. So I got my first clients in the beginning of 2023, and I'm full speed ahead and really excited about the direction it's all going in.
Awesome. And what's the name of it?
It's called Partake Meal Planning and Weight Loss Coaching. So my website is called partakemealplanning.com, and I'm also on Instagram, and so my handle is partake_foodie.
I love it. That's I like that, and I like the partaking. It's not a res It doesn't sound like it's going to just restrict you and be like that. Like I always found that Weight Watchers was so on the nose. And yes, it's very alliterative, and I love good alliteration, right? But so we
But
are.
now they know that it's on the nose and they call it WW now. Did you see that?
Marketing and all that stuff is what I did not realize how challenging and how much of a con like we talk about data and all this information.
Yes.
Just trying to build a podcasting network and now a YouTube network, the amount of data that goes into when you post, how you post, to hashtags, thumbnails, like what things look, what people look, it drives me crazy. So I tell my wife,
I know.
this look pretty. That's what I tell her. She's the best. But
That's
we
what
are,
Canva is for.
she's a queen. She's a Canva queen. I don't know how she does it. Like you can tell if you follow us on Instagram or follow us on YouTube or anything like that, you could tell the designs that she did versus the designs that I tried my very best on.
Hilarious.
But we are
You're
getting towards,
growing. You have a growth mindset about this. You'll get there.
I hope so. But unfortunately, we are getting towards the end of our episode. Now, at the end of our episodes, we do like to play a little game if you're interested, where we do a rapid fire questionnaire. So I pick
Oh,
like
Lord.
three or four questions. I try and tailor them to whoever I'm speaking with. And it's just one, two, three, if you're interested.
Okay. Yes, I'll give it a try. What's the harm?
All right. So, what is a book or resource that influenced your coaching philosophy?
The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg.
Love. All right, I'm familiar. I love that book.
So good.
The most rewarding moment in your weight loss coaching journey.
Oof. I once a client told me that she had been trying to lose weight so that she could go on a trip and not have to use a seatbelt extender on the plane. And she told me when it happened, I didn't have to use a seatbelt extender. I feel so free. It was amazing. She felt like the world was more in her pocket now that she made those changes.
I love that. Good for her. What's one piece of advice for those starting their weight loss journey?
You don't have to do it all at once. Go slow, make a small change. You don't have to cut everything out. Please make a tiny change. Don't get resentful. Make something small. You got this.
And one last question, what is a future goal or vision for your coaching practice?
Cool. Oh, I love that. I would love to create a group program because the community aspect is so powerful. People encourage each other, people bolster each other. And right now, I'm working with folks in isolation and I want them to get together. So that's my goal. I want to do a group program soon.
That's awesome. And we are going to be keeping a close eye because we would love to see when that happens here on our network. So that is going to wrap us up for today. Megan, thank you so much for coming on. So one more time, website and social media, go.
Yes, it was www.partakemealplanning.com. And then the Instagram, partake_foodie. And if you go to my website, you'll be able to join my mailing list. And every week I send out some kind of free resource, whether it's a planner template, a video, a helpful checklist, anything that can help you kind of get started on this journey in a really calm, compassionate way.
Love it. Well, Megan, thank you so much for coming on. I really hope that our listeners got some great value and some great insight, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
Sounds great, Paul. Thank you so much. This was fantastic.
You have a good night, all right? All
You
right.
too.
All right, I got the end of that. So the recording.